Life is living on God's promises. Folks, the greatest promise in your life is the promise that God has made to you. God gives you a promise. I guarantee you that promise is already fulfilled. You're already taken care of. God doesn't mess around. When God says, I love you, He said, I love you to the point I will give my only begotten Son that I love so dear just for you. That's how much I love you. So therefore, God says, I want you to live on my promise to you. We have a hard time keeping our promises a lot of times. And we'll make every excuse in the world as to why we didn't. But here's your truth. God always keeps His promise to you. God loves us so much that He says, I will never leave you. I'll never forsake you. I can't imagine why God stuck with me over some of the places that I took Him in my younger years. But do you know there's not one time that God ever walked out on me?
Praise the Lord.
Never has there been a time in my life to when I felt that He had turned His back on me. Many times I turned my back on Him through embarrassment of friends or whatever it was. But God never has been embarrassed over me. Because He knows me. Well, He saw me being put together. He's working that puzzle out. That's why it's so complex. You can't figure yourself out, can you? He said, Lord, I'm a mess. Yep, I know. But I love you. God loves His messes. Each of us created for a purpose. Each of us created in the image of God, the way God wants us to be. And understand this. There is a reason. Now, wives, you're going to have trouble with this one, with your husband. There is a reason your man is the way he is. Now, only God knows that reason so many times. But there is a reason. And where there's a reason, there's a purpose. And God said, I want you to live under my promise, Larry. I don't want you to base me watching over you on a promise you've made to me. We break promises. We turn in the wrong direction. We go the wrong way. We go the wrong way on one-way streets. And God says, I want you to pay attention. I promised you a future. God promised me a future. Now, you see, my mind isn't very sharp a lot of times. So my future that I would look at is just maybe tomorrow. I won't go too deep on this, you know. So I'll look for my future tomorrow. And then I realize I better be looking for the next minute future also. But God says, I got a future for you. And you don't even know the place yet. You've never been there. I got a future for you. I got a life for you that's going to be out of this world. And truly it is. So God says, I want you to live on my promise for you. I have a promise for your future. Listen to this, John 14, verses 2 and 3. There are many rooms in my Father's house. Jesus is getting ready to go be with the Father. He's getting ready to ascend. He's getting ready to be with His Father in heaven. And He says, you're going to be coming with me. But there's a lot to be done first. 2,000 years ago, He's saying this. So there's a lot to be done, and there's a preparation that needs to take place for you. And the more we learn about each other, the more we understand, man, that's going to take a lot of preparation, getting ready for us. Because each one of us, all of us have fought our own demons. All of us continue to fight our own little demons. All of us have problems. All of us have different problems, yet all the problems are similar. There's nothing that's going on in your life that Jesus doesn't know about, doesn't care about. The Lord said, I want you to look to me. Guys, I'm getting ready to leave. He's telling his disciples, there are many rooms in my Father's house. And then he encourages them. He said, look, I wouldn't tell you this unless it was true. Jesus never lied. I am going there to prepare a place for each of you. Got my name on it. Got your name on it, Eddie. I'm going to prepare a place for you. Personal. And Jesus is preparing it. That makes you important. Important to your Savior. God the Father sent him to die on that cross for you. And then we have a hard time understanding how the scripture tells us that God loves me and you just as much as he loved Jesus. And we think, but we're not worthy. Yeah, you know, you're right. On our own, none of us are worthy. Jesus was worthy. And because he was worthy, he made us as a brother or sister to him. You have been touched by the hand of the Son of God, God himself. And God says, I'm preparing for you. Listen to Jesus. I'm going there to prepare a place for each of you. After I have done this, I will come back, take you with me, and we will be together. Oh, the disciples were tore all to pieces. They're losing their best friend, Jesus. He told them he's leaving. He's getting ready to ascend to God the Father. And he's letting them know, but don't worry, boys. I'm coming back to get you. I'm coming back. I have preparation to make on your behalf. Can you imagine? Jesus getting ready to die the death. He was getting ready to die, and he's letting them know, I'm thinking about you. Nothing selfish. I'm thinking about you. I need to do this to prepare a place for you. But then he did not want them to worry. He didn't want them to worry at all anymore. I may not get through any other scriptures except for the next one if I get through it. But it's a direct message for you from God himself. You take it. You place it in that spirit of yours. For that spirit that Christ has given you is special. He has touched you mightily as an individual. Jesus, God's Son, died for you. And he sent you a message. I want you to understand the power of God. How, as well as we can as a human being, to understand it. But I want you to know something. God has promised us, did promise us, followed through on his promise to us, a counselor. Jesus is getting ready to leave, and he's saying, boys, I got to leave. But I don't want you to worry about something. Now, I want you to listen to the scripture. The Holy Spirit is the counselor. First of all, I want you to hear me on this. God is revealed to us in three persons. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Not separate, but as a whole. God is God. Jesus is God. The Holy Spirit is not an it. The Holy Spirit is a person. The Holy Spirit is God. Now, it's foolish for us to try to explain the triunity of God or the three in one or this type of spirit. Foolish for us, because you and I cannot think that spiritually deep. But God said, I want you to know I am one. There is one God and one God only. You can't explain the Holy Spirit and the God the Son and God the Father as water, frozen water, steam, and ice. No, that don't work. Because, see, you're getting carnal when you start thinking that way. You can't explain that the Holy Spirit is God, Jesus is God, and God is God. Never separated, all one. One time of all creation was Jesus ever separated from God the Father, and that was on that cross. There had to be a paying. You and I couldn't pay that price. We couldn't handle it. But Jesus had to feel that separation from God the Father, and he cried out, Daddy, Daddy, why have you forsaken me? Lord, my God, my Father, where are you? Never had Jesus had that feeling. Never could he imagine such separation. But he cried out, why have you turned your back and forsaken me? Because the sin was so great within the lives of the children that Jesus loved. The debt had to be paid. Jesus is the only one that could pay it. And as he cried out, why? I look at myself and I said, Lord, I'm one of the reasons why. He paid it for me. Don't you understand that because Jesus watched his Father turn aside and turn his back on him, you and I will never see that. Jesus paid it all. Listen, when you sing Jesus paid it all, you can count on it, every bit of it. So Jesus made sure, because he loves me and you, that you and I will never feel that separation. We can't. Jesus conquered it because he loves us that much. Now listen to me. John 14, verses 16 through 17. And I will ask the Father, this is Jesus speaking, and he will give you another counselor, an active helper. He will give you the Spirit of truth will come within you. He will give you the strength. He will give you the comforter. God's going to send the Holy Spirit. God has presented himself to us as we see in those three forms: God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. God, God, God. You got me? Never to be separated. Always one God. There is only one God. But God, in his wisdom and in his choosing, because he is God, God said, I will do all the creating. In him doing all the creating, God the Son, Jesus, was part of it. God the Holy Spirit was a part of it. But God the Father says, I'm dealing with handling this. And in the 6 days, you see all created. He went in the mess of nothingness and he created all that exists. God did that. God the Father. God wanted us to understand that he is the creator. You cannot create anything. The only one who can create is God, because to create means to make from nothing. You don't create a writing. You don't create a beautiful floral arrangement. You don't create a beautiful this or beautiful that. You take what has already been created and you just sort of manage to put it together and it looks pretty. We arrange what has already been created. So God the Father, He speaks. When God speaks, everything listens. It don't have to have ears. All of existence that didn't exist until God told it to exist, listen and hears His voice. And God did it in 6 days. And the scripture says on the seventh day, God rested. According to which version, God chilled out. God had completed what He, as God the Father, was going to do. In that six-day period, He had created all that you and I will ever need or will ever be needed for the growth of the universe. It would continue. When God does it, He does it right. And as He did this, started this creation that He said there will never be an end to it, it continues totally. God rested. Jesus then comes into view. God the Father, God the Son. There had to be salvation. There had to be a debt paid for the sin of the human race. God chose to send His only begotten Son, Jesus. So Jesus comes on the scene, born of a virgin, born of God, because God loves us so much. God is at home in heaven waiting for us. God the Son comes on the scene. For 33 years, we're told that Jesus lived on planet Earth, maybe more. But as He was fulfilling the duties, the saving power of God the Son, for 33 years, He lived the life of a human being so that He could feel your pain. He would know the hurt. You remember the kind of hurt that hurts you all the way to the depth of your whole being that you don't understand? You just feel the hurt and the pain of life, and life keeps caving in on you and caving in on you, and you can't find that peace. Jesus had to feel that. God the Son had to feel your pain. He had to know your heartache. For 33 years plus, He spent feeling that pain because there had to be a sacrifice, an ultimate sacrifice for sin. Sin had to be paid for. And Jesus says, Father, they can't. I'll do it for them. Let me be the lamb that is slain. Let it be my blood shed for them. Father, they're our children. These are my brothers and sisters that I love so dear. And God the Father watched from His glory and His Spirit filling all over all that exists at that time, and continues as He's watching His only begotten Son being led to a cross to die as a common thief, as a murderer, charged with all the vileness that a human being could be charged with, and yet guilty of none. Jesus was led to a cross, and I always get excited. He thought about me. He knew your name. Yes, you. And He thought about you. And he says, Lord, I've got to go. Yet through his physical condition, after being beaten so much and such put on his back, the weight of the cross became more than he could bear. And even going through that type of pain that he was in, getting ready to give it all for you and me, as he stumbles, as he falls from the weight of the world, the question will come to you and me, must Jesus bear the cross alone and all the world go free? Now, there is a cross for everyone. There is a cross for me. But Jesus paid the price because he loved me. And he kept going. And he kept going. And God sent one to be able to help him carry the burden. Giving us, it was Jesus, the man. He needed help from man. You know, he was getting the help from God the Father. But it was a visual for you and me to understand. We help our brothers in need. When one is down, you get down there with him. Don't you be such goody-two-shoes that you're not going to dirty your hands on something like that, or you'll never catch me in a place like that. Let me tell you something, Christian. You're obliged to God. I don't care what the filth is. When you got a brother or a sister that's caught down in that ditch of life, you better be crawling right down in the mire with them. And you get down there and you tell somebody that you love them. That's what Jesus was doing as he was going to the cross. The 33 years was up. He had finished the course that God the Father had told him to do. So God the Son is there in all of God's glory. And God's so proud of his Son, guilty of no crime at all, found guilty for all. That was Jesus. That is Jesus. That will be Jesus when he comes back at what we call the great rapture time. When Jesus comes for his church, you'll recognize him and he'll recognize you. Woo! He knows your name. You're not just a number to Jesus. You're not just a person. You're a brother. You're a sister. You're a child of God, your family. And as God comes and he touches, Jesus hangs on that cross, but he had to fulfill it. Everything had to be accomplished. And when it was, Jesus had already told him, no man can kill me. I give my life freely of myself, because I love those who are to come, who shall be and be called by my name. Christian, Jesus stayed on that cross until he had paid it all. And I guarantee you, he had your name on his heart and on his lips. And then finally he said, Father, it's finished, completed. God the Father had completed all of creation. Everything that was to be existed, he made exist in the six-day period. Jesus, oh, he lived a full life of 33 years plus. Some said 38. I don't care. I care that he cared about me. And every year was spent for me, for you, knowing your name, lifting you up. Sorry, I woke you up, that is. God looked at the heart and he saw hope. God doesn't just look at a heart to see hope without filling that heart with hope. And God looked down and God says, That's my child. I'm so proud of him. Isn't it awesome? Isn't it awesome to know that God looked at his son and told all that would ever exist how proud he was of his son? And Jesus fulfilled his commitment to die for our sins on that cross. They put him in a tomb. But on the third day, that was enough. And Jesus then, what did he do? Well, the scripture tells us as he went to be at the right hand of God the Father, he's sitting in heaven. He is sitting beside God the Father in heaven. And in that seating, the scriptures let us know he's always thinking about you and me. He's always telling God about you and me. Jesus knows your name. But he didn't want to leave his friends lonely. And he says, I'm going to tell my Father, he is who will never leave you. He is the Holy Spirit who leads all to truth. He lives, now listen to him, he lives with you now, meaning God the Holy Spirit is me also. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy, separate individual personalities, same God. Can't explain it. Don't want to explain it. Don't care to explain it. I just care that it's a fact. So the Holy Spirit will come. And later he says, he's with you now. Later, he will be in you. He said, you looking at him now, because you can't separate God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. But each one, God had deemed necessary to fulfill and to accomplish what? Mine and your salvation, the salvation of the human race. And the Holy Spirit comes down into the heart of man. And the Holy Spirit of God, so powerful to watch it over you, to lift you up out of that ditch, to be with you when you're so afraid of the fear of the human condition is so frightening that you can barely stand there. The Holy Spirit is within you to lead you through. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, all focused on you. One God, one salvation through Jesus Christ. Each one serving the purpose of making sure that you and I get to be where Jesus is. He'd already told us that he's preparing a room for us. He said, I want you to know something. I'm preparing you a room. Now, I know y'all like saying mansion and all of this, and that's fine. It's a room, because a lot of people that have started, you know, we have carnal Christians. That's Christians that are truly born again, but you wouldn't know it by looking at them. Their actions are following them a lot of times. Well, preacher, are they really saved? If they have accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior of their life, you better believe they're saved. And they said, well, you know, I got me a mansion. I guess you're going to have a shack up there somewhere because you've not been as good as me. You turn me loose on the one that makes a statement like that. But here's the key. All the room in the world is in God's house. And I've invited you that where I am, you may be also. That's the story of God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Jesus is seated at the right hand of God the Father, who is seated on the throne. The Holy Spirit is within us all, through us all, in us all, and will be the all in all that you and I need to live our life here. And then he says, and in the time to come, I'll never leave you. You got Jesus, folks. When you said yes to him, he will never leave you. He'll never forsake you. Deal with the pain of life. It hurts. Unite together in love. Give. Give from your heart to those who need. Be merciful to those who cry out for the mercy. Be at peace, for our Savior has given you the ultimate peace. Use it with wisdom. That's God's word, and it don't get better than that. Let's pray. Father, I thank you, dear Lord God, for the blessings, the joy of salvation, for your truth. We ask now, dear Heavenly Father, that you give each of us a direction that you want us to go in the week ahead, in the minutes ahead, in the hours, the days, all, Father, give us that direction. We thank you, Father, for loving us so much. Now help us that we may truly love one another just like you've loved us. For we ask that blessing in Jesus' name. Amen. During a time of invitation, the invitation is always the invitation is always the same. I invite you as God's servant to always be ready and willing to serve the Lord with gladness and with fullness.